Hello and welcome to what is kind of episode 3 of CRA Podcast. We're going to have a bit of a break from our regular format and look at the World Team Championship lists from various countries and just have a little go through what people have brought, what people are trying to do with those lists, and then pick out some of the more interesting lists that people are taking. With me is going to be Jamie Perkins and James Knight. And also at the end of this podcast, if you wait, we will finally explain what doing a Paul North is. All right, we're going to start with Team Poland Reckless, who were last year's winners. They're the reigning champions of the WTC. And this year, they have brought the same team of players. The main thing I wanted to look at this, really, is that the players have brought very few changes in their lists. It looks like they're going for the same tactic that worked last year, which is, I guess, reasonable.
They've got the most understanding Kado player I have never met.
His job really is to just get thrown at five people he probably can't beat. That's his WTC. One of the interesting things is he's made his Karchev list into an actual Karchev list rather than just a puzzle for people to try and work out.
Well, Malakov has sort of given him some quite comical game. I've tried it myself. It's comical, definitely. But he's the boss boy, absolutely.
Between that and the conquest now in the Butcher 2 tier, I think he really is. His entire game is going to be, I'll get put up against the hardest match I can possibly get. Probably lose, but...
Yeah, if I get a win.
A win might happen.
Yeah, if I get a win, bonus. Yeah, and see what happens. But they've brought some very interesting lists otherwise, the slight changes they've made.
The Menoth player is playing exactly the same as last year. Not lists, but the casters. He has tweaked his list slightly, which is usually signs of a healthy game, I think, that you have to tweak every year.
Yeah.
He has got Krios 3 again, which is interesting. He did well with Krios 3 last year. Chris keeps talking about Krios 3, but he never actually plays him for any tournaments. Keeps bringing him out and saying, oh, he's got a game for Stormwall and he can do Circle and all this. But
it's kind of like Baldur 1 with you, but a step further.
Speaking of Baldur 1, Gobbos has dropped Morvana 2 for Baldur 1, which is an interesting move. It's an interesting Baldur 1 list as well, with the Waldrath.
Waldrath, yeah, because understandably, you can put Stoneskin on anything else, but it seems to be a fairly common thing that we're used to see a lot of Baldur 1 Stoneskin with either other walds that you can cast it on because they haven't got spell ward, or on a fairy that you then teleport into somebody, you know, with possibly blessed on it as well. That's what we used to use it in, anyway.
Getrix with that and double porting in seems to be Baldur 1's main game in this country, at least. I assume here Stoneskin's going to go on the blood trackers.
Yeah,
it's obviously ridiculous on them.
Yeah,
and then two units of slaughterhouses, which I'm not sure exactly what it's for. I think it might be to give it some Crix game.
Well, we were talking.
Feet and slaughterhouses is interesting for Crix, but there's a lot of Scar 1.
I was actually talking with Brett about this, and he thinks it could be used for. It's interesting because as we look down the list, there's not as many trolls as we thought there'd be. There's still quite a few, you know, Scorn and trolls together, but there's not as overwhelming amounts of like Meat Mountain and Xerxes as we thought there would be. And there's a lot more brick breaking lists than there are brick lists. And this is what he suggested is possibly a brick breaking list. Use the Waldrath to sort of proc damage on something, then send the slaughterhouses in, you know, after the blood trackers have started damaging things as well, and you've got your slaughterhouses already getting weapon master attacks against everything.
I also think that's an excellent anti-circle list in the current meta. That's going to destroy Morv 2.
Yeah.
With all the RFP and just being a little bit higher armour and defence than they can get even with rerolls. And then he's got his other list, which he's had for some years now, I think. That's not changed at all. And he's actually done really well with that as a Baldur 2 list.
Yeah, looks pretty good.
Deep Battle Engine.
Then there's the Legion one. He's changed both casters, and I think he's sort of next leveled and outthought a lot of the other Legion players. I'd be interested to hear what you think about this.
Thanks.
A lot of people are taking Veil 1, and he's got Lilith 2, which is the slightly better counter.
I would disagree with that. There's only 4 people taking the Veil 1. There's 25 people taking Veil 2. So
there's more people taking Veil 1 than I thought.
4. 4 people out of, was it, or 200 odd, right, anyway, but yeah, so there's, yeah, Lilith 2 is really good for playing against Legion. It's good for Veil 1, it's good for Veil 2 as well. he's built his list, I think, for playing against other Legion players. You know, the double Ravagor 2 Angelius is going to be good for playing against the Veil 2 tier, because you're going to be up on the attrition on the Veil, on the Lurth 2 feet turn, and then you're a beast up for the rest of the game, and it's difficult for Veil 2 to get back into it then without going for an assassination herself. It's good for counter. I actually tried a list like that myself once with the 2 Angels and 2 Ravagors. It's very good, but it's very much centred around having an excessively good feat turn, and you've only got 2 Ravagors to do it with. So
yeah,
you get it most of the time.
I think it's going to often rely on getting Pincushion off as well. If you can get Pincushion off on your feet turn, you win. If you don't, then you one set of bad dice and you lose the game.
The reason I would... I mean, I've never been the biggest fan of the 2 anyway, even though I played it last year's WTC, but the change in mechanic to one team picking all 5 tables this year is going to be huge. Whether you're... If you're the player picking the 2 and then picking the table, you've got a massively strong advantage. But at the same time, if you're playing against the 2 and you can just look at see where the best walls are for you to hide behind, it's a big thing against her. So it's even more of a coin flip this year than it was last year, I think.
But his other list is also interesting because, again, I say a lot. I noticed a lot more Thagros 2 than I was expecting.
Hmm.
Let's put it that way. He's an interesting caster. You don't see him at all at Masters level.
No.
So you're the Legion player. Do you want to try and say why he's here in a team event?
Because, as I say, he's there for brick breaking. There's a lot of brick breaking lists, and he's the brick breaker there for Legion. I mean, it doesn't quite work with Serin because she sort of runs out of steam a little bit, but this guy can bring the same beasts, more beasts, to make them all hit harder, you know. And on his feet turn, they can either get more attacks or back off to, you know, charging again in a sort of Serin-like fashion. So yeah. He just hits harder and hits more accurately, gets more out of his war beasts for the time that he has them. He'll go straight through things like Meat Mountain, you know, or have a good go at Xerxes as well.
There's not a lot that assassinates Thagros too easily as well.
Not really. As long as he's camping enough fury, that's all it is. He's just got to camp the right amount of fury for it.
So the only other real change, and the main thing we're looking at with this, is that they've made very few changes overall, is the Crix players swapped out Gaspy 2, might be in response to the latest errata where they've nerfed him yet again. But he's playing the No Quarter Denegra theme list, which is horrendous when you have to set up opposite.
Yeah, it's actually become quite popular, this list. I've seen it a few times. It's good.
You start with the upkeeps on.
Yeah, if you don't have purification, it is a proper nightmare to deal with. I mean, even if you've got Eris, they can just stick a spell on your warjacks and just go, well, you can disrupt them if you want.
Just sticking the one on Eris that means she doesn't have stealth anymore. It's a reasonable choice.
I
played that at the WTC warm-up. They took stealth off the mage on us. Even that one lets you move if you move close. That's when your warjacks move, is it?
Pursuit,
yeah, that was a... Yeah, it's quite horrendous, that one, especially like on Deathjack, like he's got in there quite early on. You don't really want to be giving Deathjack an extra free move after AD'd.
Yeah, and having to go through nearly 20 Cephalics, which all have tough. They're not easy to, not difficult to kill, but they have tough, so you never know how long it's going to take.
And then a second wave of
Then they all come back as Mechanithralls. He's took them all as min units as well, so it's like... Those Mechanithralls, by the time they get to you, are likely to have 18 more because he's going to catch all the Cephalics that you killed.
Unless you start chewing through all the Stitch Thralls. And it's a good solid list. And his Scar 1 list is perfectly fine as well. Lots of good first wave into Tixis and Bane Knights.
I think he's only changed that to add Iokos.
Has he got Recursion in that one as well? I don't think he has, has he?
I don't think so, no.
No, that's not quite... I worry about Scar lists, personally. They're a bit of a pain. But when they haven't brought a strong recursion mechanic, it's not quite as bad.
He's got the Necrosurgeon, but that's just for Scar, I think.
Yeah. It's just find that odd when you've got so many living models in there, not to just pay 3 points for a min Mechanithral unit. It's not my list, is it? But it's still very, very solid.
Like we were saying at the start, looking at the way they put the team together as a full team rather than just individual lists, they've obviously got somebody to throw under the bus. Yeah. They've got the rest of the team is set up so that they can put down 2 people to deal with any other threat.
Yep.
It's a really well put together team.
Yep.
It's the same tactic they used last year, and I will be interested to see if it works again this year.
Yeah, people know it's coming this year, so we'll see if it's good for them.
Okay, so...
should we go on to next one?
Right, what list do you want to do?
Yeah, I want to talk about Sweden... Is it Sweden White? Where's it gone? Just Sweden Epic, sorry. Sweden Epic. It's with the more memorable of their names that I can't pronounce, apart from Christopher Wedding. it seems to have their... From what I can tell, it's their better players, Dennis Korsen, Christopher Wedding, Torbjörn Hodor Hansen. I've picked this team because they are very scary. Their lists are just incredibly scary. They've all got something that's very difficult to deal with for, you know, somebody else across from them. They've brought problem lists. With the exception of perhaps a circle player, they're probably more answer lists, but the rest of them, they're all big problems to deal with. Across the team, they've got Lilith 2, Vale 2, Kalandra, Grimangus, you know, not the regular bricks you see. Denegra 2 is difficult for a lot of people to deal with. Sorcia 2 brings a ton of damage and RFP to the table, and then, you know, finished off with Kruger 2 and Mavana. It's Mavana 1 as well, actually. If you are dropped against Mavana 1 and you don't have Purification, you're going to have a bad time. We're actually bringing Mavana 1 as well. Brett's bringing Mavana 1. And it's the same thing. If he gets dropped against somebody that hasn't got Purification, it's going to be a really bad game for them.
There's just not a lot you can do. Yeah, I played her a couple of years ago, and I played her for a full year until Vale 2 came out, basically.
Yeah.
And it's like you can sit there, and I remember being in a Masters match with Morvana 1 and making a horrendous mistake halfway through and losing all but two of my blood trackers.
Yeah.
And Pickles came over, looked at the game, and he was just like, no, you're not going to win that. And then he came back two turns later and had a max unit of blood trackers killing his caster.
Yeah.
And it's just like, there's just nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, and this guy has gone the full whack as well, because he's done that really nasty thing of bringing the Gator Boker and the Shamblers. So every time you kill a blood tracker, he's getting a Shambler and a blood tracker. So
you can kill my guys, you're giving me more guys.
Yeah, everyone you kill, it's Hydra. It's the Hydra list, isn't it?
It is Hydra.
Cut off one head, two more will take his place.
Wow. One of them's a slightly gimpy head. Can't really fire, but all right, it works.
But yeah, it's
Interesting something you said there. I mean, maybe we won't go into this fully, but I've always said Circle is a faction that doesn't really have any question asking lists. It's more of an answer list. Even like Morvana 2 is just, look, we've brought Purification, we brought a feat that brings things back. So it's interesting that you say that they've got a lot of lists that are asking big questions, and then the Circle player has brought some good answer lists.
I didn't realise it was Morvana 1. I think Morvana 1 is the biggest question to ask in Circle. Do you have Purification?
Yeah.
You know, that's it. It's, if you don't have if they do have Purification, that's fine. I drop Kruger 2 and he doesn't care about Purification. So I think that's a very cleverly put together set of lists.
Really want to give away massive things, and I know that the UK team has Morvana 1, but when I played her, I actually found that after Purification, RFP was the biggest concern, even if they have like Eris or Hexbolt or something like that. That'll get rid of things.
And again, Kruger 2 doesn't worry about those.
Yeah, things that Kruger 2 absolutely cares not for. Yeah. And Kruger 2 is always in with a game. It doesn't matter what you put him against. If you're playing Incursion, he's probably going to win.
Yeah, and he's brought a very solid Kruger 2 list. You know, Getrix. This Kruger 2 list has appeared a lot of times in the WTC, or slight variations of it, but it's three heavies in a Gorax with Shifting Stones and then some useful solos and then Druids of Orbros. In this case, it's Getrix, Megalith, and a Stalker. Usually it is Getrix and Megalith and then something else, either a Stalker or a Feral or sometimes a Pureblood. But it doesn't vary a lot from those three heavies, Druids, and the extra bits. But it's so very good, it does work, you know. The next guy's got Sorcia 2, Vlad 2. I've been playing with it. That Sorcia 2 list is actually something I experimented with for our own WTC team. I played it at the WTC warm-up a month ago. I think my list only differed by not having Iron or Holt and having Widowmakers or something else. But it was very similar to something I ran. And it causes people big problems. That Bonded Conquest is, you know, it's a real catch 22, and it does stop people charging into it.
I still fear that Bonded Conquest. I probably really shouldn't, but I just remember that first game with Morvana 2 where I charged two Stalkers into it, and then next turn he one-shotted them both.
Yeah, you didn't kill it. You just went, okay, so you're both frozen, and I saw your feats, bang, one dead, bang, two dead. Oh, I've wasted some focus.
Just killed him with initials, yeah.
Palachev's on the wrong unit though.
Where's he gone?
He's on the NIS. He's got Iron and Hope. Definitely should be on Iron and Hope.
Well, not necessarily with Sorcery 2. I mean, on the, that there lets you put Shatterstorm onto the Nissan, as you see. Right. Which is big because it's a faction-only spell. That's lets you cycle your RFP around. I had Lady Ironholt with Vlad 1, and that's why I put Silas in there, because then they are getting the Zephyr move up, which is really cool, but then you get Signs of Importance on the harm and Holt's guns, which is just wrong. Yeah. But yeah, no, that's good. And then he's, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with Vlad 2. I don't think he's as effective at 50 points, but a lot of Kato players disagree with me, and they work, so obviously I'm wrong.
It's a different way to play than you do. It's like when you said, you know, some people just play Kador completely differently to how you see them.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Yeah, it is entirely reasonable. I haven't seen Vlad 2 for... Actually, I haven't played Vlad 2 since Mark 1 in a competition.
Yeah, he's appeared a few times here. You know, he's someone that throws a lot of things across the table at high speed and high power, so he can be difficult for some people to deal with. Denny 2, Gorshade 3. Gorshade 3 in a Kraken and bringing back Soul Hunters. You know, he hasn't got the Bane Riders here, but he's got Soul Hunters in there. That's a problem to deal with. And Denegra 2 is someone that's is very popular in the event, just like Hayley 2. She's just always difficult to deal with, whether she's in the tier list or not.
Yeah, it's a big scenario for you. If you get the right scenario for your game, you can just win. And if you don't and you're playing uphill into scenario, it's just, well, I'll use my feet and attrition you then, because that'll probably work too. One thing I've noticed from them three, actually, we'll go through the other two lists.
Here's another one, Dennis Cawson, someone I've heard his name quite a few times recently. I know Dan Cunningham played some practice games against him on Vassal. Very solid player, someone that's just not bringing the usual in fact, has he got warders at all?
He's
got one unit of warders. He's got one unit of warders in each list, so he's got like a central unit of warders, but he's not built his army around having lots of warders. He's got Kalandra with, is it five warbeasts? Storm Troll, Impaler, Bomber, Mulg. Oh, it's Runebearer, the last one. So four war beasts, and then just pig burrowers. So he's got that troll brick in the middle with the stone scrabs coming up behind it, and the pig burrowers in the front, protected by Starcrossed, and the warders as well. That's a very, very interesting and different Kalandra list. What do you make of that?
I often see Kalandra played with lots of infantry. I assume it would be two units of warders now, just because of the amount of damage that they can do on her feet turn. But the beast Kalandra feet turn is equally good.
I really like Mulg with Kalandra. It's not something you see very often.
You don't, because everybody's taking Runes of War.
Yeah.
But I think not being able to... It might be the team format. You might just think, I can do without Runes of War and have those matchups covered by other people.
It's a really, really cheeky trick that I talked Andrew Galera into a couple of years ago, putting Bullet Dodger on Mulg, because people are not going to boot attack rolls against him. And under Starcrossed, something's going to miss eventually. And when Mulg steps out of melee, it's I think your heart just rips in half.
It is. That is... You just watch...
Have a good time.
You watch it happen and you're just like... That is the game over. I've just failed to kill Mulg, and now he's going to do what he wants. And he'll probably buy back to full health in a couple of turns.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and then his Grimangus list is a more standard Grimangus list that has got the shooting, very strong shooting element to it. But, you know, Grimangus is a perfectly solid warlock. Don't see him a lot at the moment because of the prevalence of big bricks, but he's always been good.
Yeah, I still think he's one of their good Crix answers as well.
Yep.
But we don't, for some reason, we don't see him and troll players complain about Crix. Mm. Reasonably complain about Crix, but I still think he's something they should be using.
Yeah, yeah. And then Hodor. So he's brought the Leather 2, Veil 2. Now, his lists are much more standardised. Three Ravagors and two Bolt Throwers is a lot. It's a lot of shooting coming your way. But then Veil 2 list, he's been running it for the same since the Veil 2 list started. It's the same JVM list set up, except he's got a Seraph over the unit of Legionnaires. So he's actually got six heavy war beasts. So it's no screening, but you've got to deal with six heavy war beasts. It's a lot. So
Sivian in there instead of the Angel's quite interesting as well.
Have them what, sorry?
Sivian instead of the third Angel.
Well, that's the standard. The standard is to have two Angels, two Ravagors and a Sivian. I personally prefer the Angel, but it's a personal preference, really.
So one thing I've noticed about these lists, maybe not the troll players so much, they all have something where you could just be playing a regular game, then all of a sudden he's just like, I've got an assassination on.
Yep.
Certainly, Kruger 2 can always do that.
Yep.
The Crix players got it. The Legion, obviously, with Veil 2.
And Leather 2.
And definitely Lilith too.
Yeah. And then Calandra and Grimm can both do bits and pieces of an assassination.
Yeah, they've all got this just play the attrition, and then if you've got a spot open, I mean, that's another thing that Vlad 2 does really well as well, because any of his pieces can suddenly become an assassination tool.
Yep.
Just with his feet.
Yep. So, and obviously Gorshade 3 has got his stationary spell assassination as well.
Yeah.
And he's got the Kraken in there.
And the Kraken to shoot with, seeing through everything.
Yeah.
What's it called? Phantom Hunter.
No, that's good. Has he got that? I thought Gorshade 2 that had that.
No, Gorshade 3 does have Phantom Hunter.
He's got it as well, has he?
I don't know.
Anyway, regardless, if you're making the target model stationary, it doesn't really matter.
I'm pretty sure it's got the Phantom Hunter, because I played Phil.
That's
and
fine.
He did the pop the feet, freeze Assyria, and then shoot her in the face with a Kraken.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm just saying, that team is one to watch out for. That's going to go very far. That's going to take some serious stopping, that team.
I think it looks like every round they're looking for somebody to get caught out and get assassinated.
Yeah.
And if that's on one of their matchups that's not favourable, then they've probably won the round.
Yep, yep.
And it looks like a really well-put-together team. I'm not sure about some of the individual lists, but when you look at it sort of holistically,
yep,
it's a really nice team.
Yep, definitely. What did you want to look at, Jimbo?
I'm first going to look at the Team USA Stars one.
Okay, this is one that's going to get talked about a bit, I think.
Yeah. The reason I picked this one is because though they've taken pretty much the standard list you'd expect to see, all the lists are built very differently to what you'd normally see, kind of all skewed and weird.
So you mean they've taken standard casters, but they've built the list in different ways?
Yeah, in general. And even some, like, Will Pagani's taken Cromac, which is one we don't currently see a lot of, but it is understandably good.
I would disagree with that. You see Cromac a lot, I just don't play him, so we don't see him in Fanboy a lot.
Right. You see him a lot in America and other places and stuff.
Pagani's basically made Cromac the default caster in Circle. Anybody starting Circle these days will be told to buy Cromac, buy Pagani's list, and then find something else that you like, because it's the ultimate Circle all-comers drop.
Most of the time, yeah. And it's very good for Cricks as well.
It doesn't work out that way in like the Masters events and the big events that we play, but new players to Circle will be told this is the easiest way to get into it, and you will learn all about Circle shenanigans.
Yep.
And that is... it's a difficult way to describe this. That is absolutely the net list that everybody plays, but Pagani invented it, so it is innovation on its own.
Yeah. I mean, I think...
just to say, Gorshade doesn't have Phantom Hunter.
Yeah, I didn't think he did. Yeah. Right. So, what someone's mentioned, when I was listening to Muse yesterday, and what something they said, which is it rings very true when you're looking down these lists, is there's two very distinct philosophies about WTC lists. You take something that is absolutely staple, and you're just going to try and play it better than the person across from you. Or you're going to play something that's a little bit different, and you perhaps haven't practiced it as much because you haven't taken it to big events to show people, but you have practiced it in secret, and you're going for the slightly hidden or slightly curveball tech. Now, what's interesting about the USA Stars team is that they've sort of done both. There's players like Jake Van Meter that have taken the same list he's taken for the last 4 years, and he is just going to play them better than 99% of people. And then there's Will Pagani that's done both. He's taken his Cromat list, which is his standard for the last couple of years, and his Kruger 2 list, which is completely different. It's now for something completely different. You know, so and you can see that throughout their team, that they've done things that are staple, what the hell?
No. Just looking through them. So you got the Cromat one, and then there's the Kruger one, which we were discussing. You know, there's no Druids in there, which is really strange to see, but I know... there's probably reasons in there. There's the Una with the two Rotterhorn combination in there. Don't really know what they're going to do with this. I can understand it's the special one that gives you the 2-star actions.
The 2-star actions with the Black Clads is really good. That means that they can go forward and either spray or Hunter's Mark and then teleport back afterwards. So your Black Clads are there for the whole game doing work.
Or you could do 2 sprays and 2 Hunter's Marks if you really want to.
It's star actions, so you can't do star attacks.
Ah, right.
So the only action he's got is the one that lets him teleport back to a shifting stone.
Okay, so yeah, he's got the 2 Black Clads and 2
So they're going to be there the whole game doing that. And the Rotterhorns themselves, you only really need one, I think, just for doing acceleration. So the other one's definitely expendable and can fly into the middle of a unit and do Pow 8s that are boostable on all of them.
I know he's been talking about Una recently, is about helping him to unjam his army, so maybe it's Una and one of the Rotterhorns going to help him clear out his war beast to let them go and do things if he gets jammed up.
Yeah, it's I think the interesting part is no Druids. Everybody plays him with Druids. And I know Pagani doesn't like druids in general. It's one of the places where you can definitely justify druids, but he's not going for that ultimate control scenario build. He's definitely going for a more attritional build.
I was going to say, it feels a bit weird not to have the extra push-pulls in there with the feet and the TK and everything else. But
Kruger does a lot of that himself, and he still brought Megalith to help with all those things. So he's still got a strong push-pull mechanic. He hasn't maxed it out, that's all I suppose we can say.
Then next up we've got Keith and his Haley 1 and Haley 2 list. Thought a combination would see, but then when you look down the list, it's all quite very different. It's really interesting, actually.
Yep.
The P. Haley with Stormwall, and he's got Gaston with the Galleon. That's going to be pretty horrendous. You've got to deal with two different Colossals without being able to charge. She's
quite well protected from shooting by two huge bases, and then if they have to split up, he's got the tactical Arcanist core as well.
So you've got the Wall of Clouds as well.
Yep.
He played something similar to this in the Iron Gauntlet. And it looked really good. I mean, I only really watched the final where he was only playing for 20 minutes.
Yes.
But you just sort of watch him set up, and you think, I've got nothing for this. I'm just going to get shot.
It's when you watch that final game, and you see the you see Doomy go down to just Stormwall and some gun mages, and he's got a fully loaded up galleon sat behind there ready to go yet, and it's not even gone.
Yep.
Interesting things in this one, I think, is going to be, I mean, it's kind of obvious why he's in there, but we'll mention it. Ralloc Moorclaw.
I love that guy.
He's sort of been a dark horse, and then all of a sudden somebody's just tried him and he's become really useful, and people have started putting him in a lot of lists. Being able to repair mercenary and faction,
it's very useful.
Is a really useful thing. In this as well, obviously, as we know from Dave Harbord playing it, Gaston definitely can get killed. And Ralloc is a Jack Marshall, so he can restart the galleon, which means you've not got 18 points sat there doing nothing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is a good one as well. And Ralloc rarely dies early. He's got decent armor, he's got tough, he's got 8 boxes.
He's a def 13 troll. He's a def 13 troll, that means he's unkillable.
Then obviously next up we have the Haley 2 list, which again is not the standard build you would see. No Stormwall to begin with, which I like. It's a lot harder to take the points out there. And I think everyone who's kind of prepped to come into play against Haley is all prepared for Haley 2 Stormwall.
Yep.
General minimum build stuff. But I mean, it's got the two jacks, it's got a considerable amount of infantry in there. All the super solos you could ever want. I mean, it's not going to be an easy thing to look at.
Yeah, this is looking at... Muse have sort of been championing the multiple small units style of play, and this looks to be doing a bit more of that than usual.
Yeah, the only big unit in there is the Boom Howlers, and Keith loves Boom Howlers.
I was listening to him trying to advocate that Boom Howlers should be allowed in every list, and just thinking, no, that's definitely not right.
No, yeah, it's definitely not right.
I'm just going to interject here because one of my other choices has got a no Stormwall Haley, and so has Australia Green. Australia Green's got Haley with just Thorn in the battle group. And Daniel Naus, who we all know, has just a Lancer in a battle group with a bonded Stormclad. I think it's really interesting that a lot of these decent players, top players, Keith's and Daniel are both...
They're all right, I guess, aren't they?
Yeah, they'll if you want a bit of practice and they're around, they'll do. These top players have started to take a no Stormwall Haley, and we were just talking just before we started about how that's a bit of a gamble because it's a different list that maybe people aren't used to playing, but I know certainly for myself, if I see a Haley list without a Stormwall, I'm sort of thinking, thank God there's no Stormwall, this should be a bit easier.
Yeah, it's a catch-22 really, because it's probably very effective. I don't know whether it's trying to dodge the anti-Signar counters or be more effective. It's kind of like Signar harder. As Crick's harder, having a Thorn or a Lancer is like Signar harder. I've got more tricks than you. So I think perhaps they're more efficient at killing what they're going after. They're good or average matchups, but the matchups that are hunting Signar are probably going to be a bit more effective against them because of the lack of a Stormwall. But, I suppose that remains to be seen. Maybe we're wrong.
I think they've been listening to our podcast because we've been talking about Point Man Thunderhead.
There's no Thunderhead.
There's no Thunderhead
in any of these Halo lists, though.
But they have all obviously bonded other Jacks, and they've obviously been listening to us and taking our advice.
Yeah.
And not put a Stormwall in their Haley. While we're on America, though, Keith's bonded a Centurion, which is definitely a bit old school.
I love Centurions.
They're one of my favourite Jacks. I don't even play Signal, but I own two of them. The bonding and having temporal acceleration really gets around its one downside, which is its speed 4.
Yep, well, and mat 6 is its other one as well, which can be a bit of a pain sometimes. But when you telekinesis in the target backwards, it's not as bad.
Yeah, I mean, but mat 6 is sort of average, so I can't really call that a downside. But yep. Yeah, the getting up to a speed 6 or 8 with the Centurion's really good. And it's really powerful scenario play, which Haley's going to love.
Yep.
You're just not shifting it if it tows in a zone.
At armor 24, no, definitely not. I mean, we don't need to talk about Jake's list too much because they haven't changed the last 3 or 4 years. The only things that have changed would have been new models like the Spellmarter. You know, his Veil 2 list certainly hasn't changed for a long time. They're very effective, and as I said, he's going to play it better than most people, so very dangerous person. Should probably have Chris here, but you know, he's not a Menoth expert at all, so maybe we should.
He's not a Legion expert either, it
sounds No, definitely not. Brian White is playing Protectorate at Menoth, and he's playing Harbinger and the Reclaimer. Now, he played Harbinger last year. Harbinger has always been his sort of staple. I've seen him play Reclaimer at War Machine Weekend, and he's played with the Idrins, and I've seen him assassinate people with the guns and stuff. But
I'm pretty sure he had High Reclaimer last year.
Did he?
Yeah.
I couldn't remember what he had.
I played him last year, but he dropped Harbinger.
Right.
He was the person who just legitimately just won with a ridiculously clever move. And
how did that game end then? Because I don't remember talking to you about that, if you remember.
I was playing Morvana 2, and I moved my Skinwalkers up to contest. It was Incursion. And he just managed to get the Avatar and the feet off exactly perfectly so the Skinwalkers couldn't move.
Right.
To contest the far flag, and he just ran Harbinger onto it.
Ah, right, okay.
So what I basically had to do was I obviously kept one Skinwalker right back. He had to run to the far flag, but that put all the Skinwalkers in range, so he just wiped them all out next turn. So I didn't get to feed him back, and it was just a really good move that I didn't see coming. I obviously knew about the feet and Avatar gaze, but just the way he did it was really good. He's not changed that list much from what I remember him playing, and he took the same combination of casters. I think he's just sort of tweaked both of them.
Yeah, a couple of solos have come in, you know, like I don't know if Nasir was there last year, but the Gaston Cross just being in there on his own on the reclaim list for 2 boosted hand cannons. Kel Baylock is a new thing, I think, for him, for Harbinger. It's always good to have a Rat 10 sniper with 2 shots. So 2 very solid lists and a very dangerous player.
I think Kel Baylock's the most underestimated solo in Mercenaries.
I'd play more if I didn't have Widowmakers.
It's interesting to see the double bastions in the Reclaimer list. It's something I've been seeing a bit more of recently, and it actually is really good.
Yeah, because they come back with full health under the feet. I think they do.
Yes, I think so.
I think they do come back with full health. Yeah, they're very horrible. And then Mr. Chiboga. Right, this man is going to fill the table with models, and can you kill it all before it kills you?
No, you can't. No. I'll say that.
No, you can't. Yeah, this. Oh God, this man should come wearing a shirt going, "Can you kill it all?" No. why always me? I don't know. But Scar 1, Gorshade 2 theme, and Scar 1 packing 36 Mechanthralls and 30 Bane Knights and Stitch Thralls, and it's just ugh. Sorry, 26 Mechanithralls and 30 Bane Knights. It's just, it's all running and screaming across the table at you full pelt, and can you kill it all before it gets to you and murders your children?
This guy's going to be able to punch through walls by the end of this weekend, moving that amount of models.
Yeah.
Every game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, well, I best not give any tactics away, but everybody's best chance is probably clocking him out.
No, I'll say something, like, I joke, but I'll say something really good about Ryan, actually. When I played him in the War Machine Weekend, and I lost in the first round to him, War Machine Weekend Invitation last year, and he played a different Scar 1 list, but he played it with a similar number of models. And I took a gamble because I wasn't prepared for playing Crix. I thought, there's only one Crix player in 16, maybe I'll dodge him. I didn't. Got him straight away in the first round. He dropped Scar 1 against Veil 2. Couldn't kill all the models. I didn't get first turn. What was brilliant is that he just went and he scuffed to the loo and he ran off. And I thought, this is great. I'm definitely going to clock him. Then he came back and killed me. He went, oh. So, yeah, he did loo break in the middle of it, left his death clock going. So, he can definitely move them all, is basically the underlying point there. And Gorshade 2, similar kind of thing. Lots of Bane Thralls and Bane Knights backed by a Kraken with Phantom Hunter.
A lot of stealth. Throwing, what, he's going to have like 30 stealth guys as well there, isn't he? So
Yeah, 34, I think.
Yeah.
But he's got a minion at a... No, he's got a minion of Bane Thralls, max unit of Bane Thralls, and then max unit of Bane Knights that'll have stealth on them for occultation.
So yeah, 30 tall.
Yeah. And then the Kraken.
Yeah, which won't have stealth, but will be really, really bad.
Yep. Very, very difficult team to deal with there, I think, for a number of different reasons. As I say, they've got a combination of standards, and then a combination of, and mixed with a lot of lists that are just, what on earth is this person doing?
Oh. Yeah, and there's also the other good thing about just them Crix lists as well is that even if you sort of saw them now, were a bit worried about them and thought, I want to practice against this, how many people do you know that own 30 Bane Knights and 30 Mechanithralls?
I don't know any.
Even unless you're going to go on Vassal, which isn't the same exactly, it's hard to even get practice against that.
Yeah,
very good team. Again, some of the lists, you'd question the lists and say, why the hell has he done that if it wasn't for being a team format, and the team looks really good.
Yeah.
Right, so are you done with them? Or?
I think that's all the that team there.
Right, so the second one I'd like to look at is the United Nations team.
Ah, yes.
Now, unfortunately, one of the teams had to drop this year. But I think it's actually worked out really well because I think this team is definitely one to be worried about. I don't know all the players in this, but I've definitely heard the names of all of them at various points, and I know a couple of the people. They're all really good players, and some of these lists definitely took me a bit by surprise.
I'm just calling it now that Germany's made a mistake by not taking Daniel Naus. He's a fantastic player, and whoever made the decision not to take him, you're an idiot. I'm just telling you now, he's a great player and I don't know why he didn't take him. He's fantastic and you're missing out, but you know, your loss.
Well, let's start with Daniel then. Daniel's one of the few that I know on this team, and he is a really good player. We see him over here quite a bit. No Stormwall and Haley, we've already sort of discussed that a bit. He's got the bonded Stormclad, a regular Lancer. The interesting things in the list, Stormblades with the max Stormblade Bolt officer and three weapon attachments. You don't see that often, but he is sort of bringing them in behind Boom Howlers, I think they're going to get delivered.
You know, kind of that Halo list kind of looks like something you'd see sort of a big... he's obviously not a beginner, but a sort of beginner-level Signar player maybe 2 or 3 years ago, pre-Stormwall. That's the kind of Halo list I'd expect to see from somebody. And there's nothing wrong with it, because it's Halo. It'll all work, but it's all basic stuff, but it will all tear your face off.
Yeah, I mean, I know exactly what you mean. It's like, oh, these Stormblades look good. Turns out they're not. But in this case, with it being Haley, she can deliver them, and they're going to be behind some Boom Howlers. So yep. You've got to get through them Boom Howlers to get to his Stormblades.
Yep.
And if you do deliver 10 Stormblades to somebody, then they're going to wreck something. They are really good. People don't realise how good they are because they never get to the enemy. But if you can deliver them, they're going to do a lot. I can't remember who it is. Somebody's got the... again, it's in Australia. Somebody's got the Striker 2 Theme Force. And we might talk about that afterwards. But again, it's just being able to deliver those units, which are all right once they get there. Mm-hmm. The Nemo 1 list, I think that's definitely a thing to answer some specific opponent things. Double Stormwall, he just cripples. Double Colossal of any kind, really.
Yeah,
he just ruins that.
Thorn with Nemo is even better. He's arguably better than he is with Haley, because he's actually got a credible assassination threat on his own, because he goes locomotion for 3, reaction drive for 3 inches more movement. He then charges 9 inches and has reach 17-inch threat range on him. He's mat 7. You can put 5 focusing into him and make him power 15. So he's a good little assassin there. And then on top of that, he's got things like Voltaic Snare and Chain Lightning coming out of him all the time. So
Wishnailer, one of the few Signar casters where you'd take Wishnailer, and Chain Lightning with Wishnailer is seriously good. I'm going to say that. Good list, again. Nothing really as surprising in that one as like the Haley one.
Just a good solid list.
Good solid one. Another Legion player, Vale 2, Thagrosh 2 this time. So again, Thagrosh 2 presumably for the the brick thing. Three rakes.
Yeah.
Three rakes is definitely a thing.
That is all brick break and melee, that. So three rakes going to be jumping all over your units, jumping behind them, being difficult to deal with. They'll hit harder under, what's it called now? Manifest Destiny.
Manifest Destiny.
Yeah, because they've changed the name of that spell three times. Manifest Destiny, and on two Scythians, getting in there faster because of a Seraph. It's all coming at you fast, hard, and mean.
Yeah, and then feet turn as well. It's big. I like it. Nothing massively special from the Veil 2, I don't think. It's a Seraph again instead of a Scythian.
Yep, but still, it'll fine. It's fine. It'll work very well.
Otherwise, basically standard. They've got a minions player. Now, it's difficult to say anything about minions because they don't usually win a lot. All you can really do is compare them to Rickard's lists. But this one's got three Gaiman posse in each one, so it's probably good. Again, he's covering certain things, and Rask is kind of a brick breaker as much as Gaiman have one.
Yeah,
he's got Fury.
You don't see much Barnabas anymore, but he's still a difficult caster to deal with. He's very good at anti-shooting as well.
I think I'm going to see more now the plastic Gaiman are out, because it's much more credible to have six units. Six min units of Gaiters is a thing.
Yeah,
because his theme list makes Gaiman posse FAU.
Six min units
is better than three max.
Yeah, okay.
Other than that, there's not a lot to say. That is actually Barnabas' theme list, not the regular thing. So he's it's just standard, though, really. I'm going to get Jimbo to talk about the Retribution. Ran Isiria is a good combo. I like it.
Yeah.
I've not seen that Isiria list before. So should we start with that one? Discordia Hyperion.
Yeah, it's interesting. I do like Discordia. That is Ran's character, Jack.
Yes.
Yeah, it's, that's the spray. Then under signs, that's gonna be ridiculously good.
Quite a small Assyria list, that.
Yeah, it is. There's just a couple of things you'll be able to get out of it. Discordia standing near Hyperion will be pretty good. That Hyperion's gonna be armor 22
to shooting. Yeah.
24. Is it not 20, 23? 23 even, 23.
Oh, yeah, because of... Because
it's got Inviolable Resolve, and you can have the Discordian put up the one focus point for the extra armor, so that's going to be pretty horrendous. Iron Halt, always good in there. Strike Force with the Commander, standard stuff. Stormfall Archers, I had a bit of experiment with them under the feet. They're actually really quite good. And two assassins are ridiculous.
Assassins seems sort of compulsory. Once you've got signs and points to let them hit, they
and extra speed distance, extra charge distance as well. It's just
and it boosts the damage by two as well. So yeah, they're extremely scary around casters. Anything really, you don't want to be anywhere near them.
So interesting thing I thought about this is first thing, no Art Node.
Yeah,
no, he's not playing the just blinding light everything game.
No.
So he's going to be, he's got Hyperion to definitely put focus into.
What he's probably going to be doing is, as you pointed out, Discordia close to Hyperion, what he's probably going to be doing is jumping out over Discordia, doing a spell, jumping back, and then sitting behind Discordia and Imperatus. Discordia and Hyperion, you have the base-to-base all game, just sit behind that bunker, jump out, do a spell, jump back again. Well, something like that.
I would have expected to see Wishnail if he was playing that game, but Wishnail's in the other list because it's Ran.
Yeah.
To be honest, if he's just putting the focus through the jacks and sitting there and camping stuff, she doesn't need to do much. If you're not playing her against the shooting heavy list, like if that might do cricks all right, it seems fine. If that's the game he's playing, it's pretty solid. He'll be happy with that all day, sitting there camping, just running the Hyperion and Discordian from the back.
And like you said, definitely Discordia and Hyperion and a full unit of Mage Hunter Strike Force is plenty to put out on feet turn, to put out enough damage to make your feet turn really count and get ahead on that attrition.
Yeah. And then we've got the Ran list.
Which looks very standard up until you get down to Alara.
Yeah, that's the main reason I wanted to look at this. Alara running Imperatus. No,
I love that.
I did experiment with this for a little bit. If you can keep Alara safe, it's pretty solid.
I love Imperatus with Ran, but on Alara, it's dangerous. But it's, you know, risk-reward, go for it.
Yeah, definitely. If you can make it work, you've got like a little Moloch card that's running off. It's in combination with Brown's feet, if it's really dangerous because that's free focus he doesn't have to put into Imperatus. He's going to push and pull stuff out of the way. Assassinations are going to come from nowhere if you're not careful with that.
I mean, you're almost always going to get off that little bit of extra movement as well because Imperatus is basically unkillable when he's on full health.
Yeah.
There's few lists in the game that are going to take that out. If they move something up and she's got the upkeep for...
Countercharge.
You're going to countercharge forward into whatever comes near him, and that's just have some extra movement.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, next turn, Imperatus is 6-7 inches further forward.
Yeah.
And that's an assassination threat.
As long as he's not gone out of Ilara's control area.
Yeah.
That's the only worry. The only worry there is Ilara, keeping her alive and stuff like that. If you do that, it's going to work really, really nicely. Yeah. If you don't, it's going to go bad for you.
He's got and Magister's the one with the no blast and plus death.
Combo strike, I think. Combo smite, I think they are. Magister's are literally the little small base mage solo with combo smite.
Right, they're not Hulk hands.
No.
Right. Yeah, that's the whip snap one, is it? Then yeah.
Oh, whip snap. That's good too. This one does have he's only got a Phoenix in his battle group, but he does have an Art Node then, which he's going to definitely need. Yeah, everything else is pretty... that was the other thing I wanted to look at. He's got Infiltrators and Eris, and I haven't really seen that, and I thought that's what people would be going for, Infiltrators with Eris rather than Strikeforce with Eris, but I've only seen her with Strikeforce.
Yeah, well, they're going to be quite well protected from Blast in this case because he's got Force Field, so not too bad for Blasts.
It's quite strong. I do like it. He gets to choose where it goes. Mm. And again, like I said, it looks like the list is built for pure assassination. If you get a couple of Infiltrators onto somebody's caster... I mean, Brown's easily going to knock you down, which means it's pretty much game at that point.
Last player then. I'm not even going to try and pronounce this dude's name, but he's got Asphyxius 2 and Scar 1. These are very much standardised lists, except for that there might be a typo in there, I don't know, but he's got 2 units of Bile Thralls, if he has. Fair enough.
I've got 2 units of Bile Thralls here.
He's got otherwise fairly standardised Scar list that will just cause people problems all day long and be a real nightmare, but not anything out of the ordinary, I think.
It's interesting, because that was the first thing I thought, was that he's just took 2 sort of off-the-shelf lists. But then I thought, actually, Asphyxius 2 has definitely fallen off out of favour with Crix players.
I think
so just bringing him back and saying, you know, you know how to deal with this because you've seen it, but... Now you have to deal with it again, and you might have not.
I think the small change that Crix players that are continuing to use Asphyxius 2 that they've made is just to make sure he's got a Helldiver at least 1, sometimes 2. Because if you've got a caster, an enemy caster that's susceptible to knockdown, suddenly your assassination vectors are all open again. Because that Helldiver is going to get there, and there's not a lot of way to stop them. If somebody really wants to make them get there, you can just wait a few more turns and they'll keep digging. I think the rules for them are slightly wrong, to be honest, because there's just nothing you can do about them if they wanted to keep digging at you. But, you know, whatever.
The other thing, 20 Bane Knights in there as well, which was I found interesting.
Yeah, rather than having any Sixus Raiders, which you often see, or Bane Thralls, just having all the Bane Knights. He's got Bane Thralls as well, sorry, but you normally see Bane Thralls, Bane Knights, and units of Sixus just sort of push people back a bit. He hasn't got those, so it's an interesting choice.
Almost always the other Sixus with the Blood Hag.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he hasn't got them in either, has he?
No. Two Bale Thralls is a little bit interesting.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Normally you'd see the Sixus Blood Witches and the Blood Hag instead of that second unit of Bile Thralls. So it's...
So I wonder if he's got any tech for Bile Thralls, or if he is just having his Excarnate spread out a bit more.
Yeah.
Which might work. It's definitely good anti-infantry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's interesting that this team sort of came together at the last minute, and I really like the team that they've come up with.
Yep.
It's maybe not as polished as the other teams, but they've all got really good lists, and we know they're really good players.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be just turning up for fun. I think they're here to play some games and to do well. You know.
Yeah, I think they're... I'm going to name them as the big dark horse of the tournament.
The big dark horse.
They're going to...
That's fair enough. I know that they'll get their matchups done very well, because, as I say, Daniel Naus has been a previous captain of different team events in previous years, and I still don't understand why he's not on the Germany teams. So, you know.
Yeah.
Just a stupid decision there. Sorry, Germany, but you got it wrong.
So, next one, do you want to do Jimbo second?
Sure, I chose one of the German teams. I believe it was German Black.
So we're basically looking at a team that should have Daniel Nash.
Yep. Pretty much, yeah. And the reason I found it interesting is...
that Daniel Nash isn't in there.
Yeah, no, yeah. And no Signa, which I think, you know, a lot of teams have built to bring... to deal with Signa. It's one of those kind of curveballs where, I don't know, are you going to... It's one of them. It's going to throw a bit of a spanner in the works if you don't see, you know, that there. And instead, they've got Cock in there, so...
It's good to have some cocking.
Yeah, so a couple interesting builds. I just found it, you know, like that. So,
just go through the factions that they brought then, because we're going to talk about them not having Signar. Tell us what factions they brought before you go through the list.
Right, so they've brought Krix, Legion, Kador, the Menoth, and Cock, or Convergence. So I found that to be like an interesting combination to bring. And some of the casters they've brought as well is, you know, it's a few big question asking ones from it about thing. So with the Krix they've brought Asphyxius 2 and Denegra 1. Your Legion is Seren Veil, so kind of standard. The K-Dog, I can't remember names of factions at the minute, what's going on with me? Butcher 3 and Vlad 2. Harbinger and Reclaimer, and then Lucant and Symphyrian, is that the one?
Symphyrian.
Yeah. Again, it's a bit like the USA one where some of them are a bit weird. The builds, for example, if we look at the Menoth player with the Reclaimer, they've got the Avatar in there. I really like as a good shout. So you never want to really be putting focus into Jacks with Reclaimer, so people don't tend to bring them. But to bring the Avatar runs itself behind those clouds seems good to me.
It's almost an older style build of Reclaimer. When you used to see him a bit, he wasn't really that popular before, but when you did see him, he used to bring an Avatar and something else. I have two staple jacks hiding behind that cloud wall. It's only really recently we've seen him with just a Devout. The Harbinger list is... the Harbinger players in WTC are also kind of split down the middle. It's the ones that are taking Tristan Durant and a Reckoner. And, you know, sometimes it's a Redeemer. And the ones that just don't take him. Like our Protector player, for his own reasons, Paul North, has not taken Tristan Durant. You know, he's happy not taking him. Some people want him. You know, I think he's very interesting. And he's really good for Harbinger.
Very solid. I think he helps out with quite a lot of matches as well.
Yeah.
Especially like the circle one where they push-pull you. If they can get the book, then that just stops anything going away. Being pushed and pulled, he stops you there.
I would imagine one of the worries of him, though, is if you're obviously reliant on him staying alive because of Martyrdom, but if you're playing against a circle player with Morvana 2, and he's just not going to have that protection of Martyrdom on Morvana's feet turn, which I imagine is going to be a bit of a worry. But, you know, apart from that, is really solid choice.
Yeah. And again, the Harbinger is, you know, the typical Harbinger where she's not going to be putting a lot of focus out with the Reclaimer being in there. You know, it's all going to kind of fuel itself and she's going to sit, camp and do what Harby does.
Mm-hmm.
So I quite like that one. The Convergence one was quite good. I liked. The Lucan isn't what we're seeing a lot at the minute. With what we're seeing at the minute is a lot of the just recycle your infantry a lot, whereas this one's gone with the Primaxian, an Inverter, a Colliery, two Optifex Directives, Reciprocators, Reductors, and then two Enigma Foundries.
This is the sort of the standard Lucan net list that we've seen in different places has been pretty much this, but instead of Reductors, you see the Obstructors instead. Yeah. So basically, the Reductors are the Spray guys, aren't they? I think Spray 6 guys, and the Obstructors are the small base shield wall. So you often see this list, but with Obstructors instead of Reductors. Yeah. I mean, the Reciprocators, you've got to kill them all in one go, or they're just going to keep bringing one or two back every turn, and that's a nightmare to deal with. Primaxium can be a problem unless you've got stuff that's high enough defense for him to not be able to hit it with his Wrath 3 harpoons. Toughest to deal with, though. Very tough. And a lot of stuff to kill. And if there's anything it can't kill, Symphyrian probably can kill it.
Yeah, I'm going to say Symphyrian's going to be a problem with all those jacks in there, isn't it? You're not going to have a good time there.
It's a good tier list. It's just basically jacks and solos, but it's fine. You know, he runs it with... he's got, what's the hot shot spell, which goes quite nicely on. Is it the Cypher? Which has got the mortar, the two AoE4s, trying to put the jacks and the names together.
It's the one on the battle box.
Yeah, it's the Cypher. I believe it's the Cypher that's got the two AoE4 power sixes it can drop. Really good for putting a hot shot on that, so you can have a bit of infantry clearance, as well as the Primaxium itself, having six to eight shots a turn. There's enough shooting in there to unless it's playing against like that SCAR list, it's got enough shooting for most lists to clear the infantry, and it hits really hard when it gets there.
It's playing against that. It looks really unfair when you just go, you've got this induction thing, so you've got ridiculous focus efficiency, and on top of that, you get all your upkeeps for free.
Yep.
It's just you're just watching the guy going. He's effectively spent 30 focus a turn.
Yeah, and then you look at him and go, well, maybe he hasn't got any good spells. No, he hasn't. He's got fantastic spells. So you just, you know, it's...
The offensive upkeep one as well, that's minus two speed on something that... has he got the art nodes in there?
I think so. That's the algorithmic dispersion opt effects. He's got two of them. Two of them, so I think he's got two, yeah.
Yeah, just getting that out and upkeeping it is just death for a lot of enemy jacks as well. So if you just put your Prime Axiom forward and put that on one of their heavy hitters, that probably means that your Prime Axiom's not dying.
Yeah, so...
It's all right,
producer Tom just had to run off. I'm sure I'll be back in a minute.
No worries.
Oh, invasion.
Doggies!
That's right, this is how important Germany's teams is to us. We're going to disrupt it and play with dogs instead.
Oh yeah, totally. Well, that's the thing I was going to say. This team looks really, really solid. You know, it's just got a Daniel Nall-shaped hole in it. That's the only it's the only real problem with it I can see. Now, on serious notes, I mean, a list I would like to highlight is Robin's Vale list. But he always goes for the slightly different lists, and he's not disappointed. His Vale 2 list is really interesting. Got double rake in there. He's got no units apart from the spawning vessel, but he's got two rakes, two angels, a Ravagor, Seraph, and a Typhon. So many assassination angles coming at you from more. You know what I mean? I mean, she's got Vale 2's got so many assassination angles anyway, but add to that two rakes that are coming in with flying headbutts from 11 inches away. You know, and then if as soon as he knocks your caster down, you've got the obliterations, you've got a Ravagor flaming shot, and then Typhon comes in and dumps three power 14 sprays on you just to have the icing on the cake, you know. Fantastic assassination list and just good all rounder. And then his Seren list is a bit different as well.
With the two rape snakes.
Yep, two afflictors to go in down the flanks and just like eat away at your flanking units with spawning incubi. Two angels down the middle with a Scythian. That's more standardized. And then a rake, because I love rakes. Firebrand grinders as well to make his spells go a bit further, which is useful when you're reliant, when Seren is quite reliant on getting out either a Breath Stealer or a Blight Shroud. I can't remember what it's called now. Blight.
Is that not a control area?
Blightbringer, I think, yeah, Blightbringer. It's on a whole, it's a range 10, but it must be cast on a warbeast in a battle group.
Yeah.
What is the Afflictor's Animus?
Afflictor is...
Gives you self-sack to...
Oh yeah, self-sack to soulless models.
Yeah, so yeah. Basically to, what
they're called?
Incubi.
Really good for the
Incubi and Spellmasters probably, I don't know if they're soulless.
I was just wondering if the Bone Grinders are going to be there for, you know, obviously getting something killed early on and then being able to use the Animus.
Well, more likely, probably something for Spawning Vessel, to be honest. Yeah. Just fill the Spawning Vessel up straight away, because you only need one of the Grinders, don't you?
Yes, this is true.
So, hi, Doggy.
You've got to watch out for command checks, then.
We've been joined by a fourth and fifth podcaster, which are in canine form. We'll be taking a slight break for a minute while they're here.
Yeah. This is going to be fun for Tom to edit.
Doggy!
Yeah, the other one I was looking at was...
You might as well wait.
You may as well wait, mate. Yeah, don't bother. Let's say. We can just go on about how there's a Daniel Nall-shaped hole in this team. You know, it's,
keep going.
I don't think they can fill it.
Butcher Free's pretty standard, isn't it? Just 20 iron fang pipes. It just looks like Butcher Free delivery system.
Right, we're taking a doggy break. So happy. Have you seen that video on Facebook of someone's taking a dog to a foreign country? I'll show you later. And my brother's linked it, and he's strapped a camera to its back. And I think they let it go the same way every day. And he lets it go and he goes... Poof. It's a good 5-minute sprint down to the beach. And it's amazing because he's just jumping through fences, jumping over hedges, running through gangs of people. He's like, I don't care. I'm not being distracted. I am getting to the ocean. It's amazing. Brilliant.
On the Facebook, all the dog shaming ones that they've been doing recently, and this is the one where he's gone, I ate baby Jesus from the nativity scene. I'm really not looking forward to the second coming of Jesus. Well, that was brilliant.
My favourite one of them at the moment is there's a dog with in front of it, just a bit of paper that just says, yeah. I eat everything. And then there's another one with him eating the thing in front of him.
Excellent.
There were just some brilliant ones I'd seen recently. I love that one. There was another one.
Have you seen dice shaming?
Yes, I've seen dice shaming.
It's something we need to start doing. Like these dice let my caster stay on fire for 3 turns in a row, and then double wand when I was going for the assassination.
Right.
So just chronicles of my dice then.
Dice chronicles.
Interesting thing Jimmy's dice have done for him today. Eris finally got that quick work shot off, rolled double one.
What Jamie's dice have done for him today, they've been shit out by Ben.
Ben's starting a war on dice now.
No, just rocks. Still just rocks.
Still just rocks.
He hides them under his food bowls now.
The rocks under his food bowls.
He brings them in and hides under his food bowls. Just picked up his water, Ben.
Fuck is this?
Get him some gravel for his birthday.
Oh, God, no.
He's starting to be like the... that bloody honey badger, he's hiding the rocks in there so he can climb out his gate when you're not looking. He's going to roll him up to the edge of the cage. Yeah.
We're good for time, aren't we?
Yeah.
What time did you want to leave?
Latest of 12:30.
All right, yeah, we're good.
We're all right. We're nearly
time. So if we do this, then Malta, and then any individual lists that we want to have a quick look at.
Yeah.
But I think...
this is it.
Yeah.
You seen it?
No.
Oh, no. Because the Wi-Fi dropped out. Who the fuck is Captain Rengave?
My dad's gone now.
Thank
you.
Who the fuck's Captain Rengave? What does he do?
Rengave.
Yeah.
He gives +2 to attack rolls.
He does with the pirate, the under pirates.
Oh, right.
He gives +2 to attack rolls to anything that's revenant.
Yeah.
That's LOS to him.
Black
Bane's revenant. Isn't it? It's just a negro gun line.
I'm not sure. He's also anything he kills becomes a revenant pirate.
Yeah, he's got the Black Bane's Ghost Rider in there. Raiders,
which is interesting. I'm not sure how that works with everything coming back, because that's that one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone you kill, as long as you don't kill the leader, they come back. So
No. Black Bane's is the ghosts.
All right.
Yeah, Revenant Crew is when you kill the leader.
Which one is the same? Death Toll then?
I think he Death Tolls Revenant Crew. I think he's just there because he's attack
rolls. Yeah, sorry, stroke you every time.
I think he's just there for attack rolls.
Yeah.
I can't believe you're outside. I was wondering what you jumped up for.
Oh no, I'm just in the fucking stream. How much more have you guys got to do?
Not much. Got this, and then I've got Team Malta for it, and that's it really. Finish this TV, Team Malta.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can just go.
Shall we carry on then? I think we've done the end of this. I think. Right. Okay. I think we're at the end of this team now, to be honest. Should we just do Team Malta now?
All right.
Yeah, it was just, standard Kador and Cricks at the end of it.
Yeah. Right, I wanted to talk about Team Malta, the last one, just because they have really interesting lists, a list I quite like, actually.
And Epic or Prime?
Oh, Malta Epic, sorry. And just going down their list of casters, we've got Assyria Ran, standard. Denny 2, Scar 1, standard. Fiora 2 Harbinger, standard. Doomshaper and Grimangus, standard. Barnabas and Rask, standard. But, let's go down some of the lists. because that round list, and this guy's done something I've been wanting people to do since Imperators came out. Take round with Imperators and a Chimera, and they just eat people. And he's gone full whack assassination. He's got double units of mages in there. He's got the little arc node, run up the table and pull you in. You know, Strike Force Commander, Eris and Infiltrators. He's got the whole works. He's got a proper, almost perfect spell assassination list there. No, spell drag assassination. Assyria is more standardized, but I just love that round list. I think it's ideal. That's the list I've been trying to get you to run for ages, basically, that.
I had a look at something like that, but I think I ran the Phoenix instead of the Chimera. It's all right. It just, in our pool of players, I wasn't getting great practice with Ryan because it's all no spells within certain ranges of everyone. But
yeah.
If you can get those ones where they're not immune to spells, you're going to live the dream with that.
Yep. Scar 1 with the Crix player, he's brought Blackbane's Ghost Raiders. We were just talking about the... was it Rengrave that's in that one, or is he not?
No, that was in Team Something Germany's else. One.
Right, okay. Yeah, no, this guy's brought... It's the second time then we've seen, because they're in Team Germany as well, Scar 1 with Blackbane's Ghost Raiders, so extra strength and armour on incorporeal melee units. That's that doesn't sound like a fun combination to deal with to me.
If he can get that feat off on the turn he charges offensively, which he probably can, because there's not a lot that's going to kill the incorporeals.
No.
They're going to charge with plus 5 strength. You're still not going to be able to kill them while they're corporeal, because they're plus 5 armour.
They go to armour 17, so it's difficult to kill them.
Yeah, it's more difficult. You're not going to kill the whole unit, is what I mean.
Yeah.
And then next turn, he's got them again to either run through and get to places.
He's going for full incorporeal in your face, actually, because he's got the statistics of Blood Witches as well.
Yeah,
And he's on top of that, he's packing 20 Bane Knights. I just hate these Scar 1 lists. They are just awful to read.
Looking at that, it really looks like he's going all out to get his feet off offensively, which is usually the tipping point for Scar 1.
Yep.
If they can feat, use the plus 5 strength against you, you lose the game.
Yep.
If you can force them to feat just for the armour so that they get something to you, then
you're in with a chance.
You should usually win that.
Yeah. And then a more standardised any tier, except she's brought 20 Bane Knights. You often see other units in there, but Bane Knights is... she doesn't have a lot of shooting protection for them, but it's fine. There's nothing wrong with them, but you often see more Satixis Raiders to run and engage on feet turn, some other bits and pieces, but nothing wrong with that list, really. What was the other one then after that? Harbinger with Double Bastions. Not seen this one for a while. Do you think it's viable anymore?
Yeah, actually, I had to play it against Martin Jenkins at ETC. You'll be happy because he was raving at me to talk about this on the podcast.
Yep.
Harbinger with Double Bastions. I dropped the Griffin spam list in there, which for a lot of the other rep players, it's very present, but they're running Imperators instead.
Yep.
That's a nightmare for that kind of list to have to get through. Mm. You have to do 35 damage before he even starts martyrdom in.
Yep.
Which, yeah, that really slows you down, and that's Weapon Masters hitting you back. I found that a real problem, and I thought, from my practice, I think that the Menoth have a great problem dealing with the Griffin list. That gives you a pretty solid answer for it.
Yeah, it's really interesting, actually. We've not seen the interaction between Martyrdom and Bastions for a while, but so much you can do with it. You can spread the damage out if it's not a lot of damage, or if someone comes in and does 20 damage on one body, just go, well, martyr it. It doesn't even die.
Yeah, I mean, it's, as I like to name it, it's the Menoth Meat Mountain right there. Yeah. You know, you've got the Holy Zealots, the Bastions. It's a lot of troublesome infantry to have to deal with.
It's interesting you say that, though, because I wonder if it's... because there is a Meat Mountain, Fist is really popular, all this kind of stuff. Is it going to get caught in the crossfire of people who are ready to deal with Warders and...
Oh, yeah, if you can deal with Warders, then you can probably deal with this, as long as you can get through the Martyrdom on this one.
But there are different things to deal with here. I mean, Harbinger's feet, you don't see with other bricks.
It is a different thing to deal with, but if somebody's... it just seems like if somebody's tricked out for dealing with Fist and Warders, then they're going to be able to go through Bastions pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That's reasonable statement.
But, yeah, no, it's definitely viable. You just have to have the other list to cope with the things. Yeah. That...
I mean, Martin just had a Devout, didn't he? This guy's brought the Avatar and a Wrecker as well.
The difference is he doesn't have the Seneschal, so he's not getting the health back as well, because getting health back on top of...
yeah, on top of all the other
stuff. All the other stuff
on.
Was a nightmare.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
Yeah, with Martyrdom, that is just 10 health a turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Okay. The troll player, this guy is brought... These are actually Andrew Gillier's lists from a couple of years ago. I mean, Runes of War is the same Runes of War that everyone else runs, even down to the last couple of Rune Shapers. But the Grim Angus list, it just reeks to me of Andrew Gillier-style lists. And even though he's an Australian, he's actually, I believe, he's heritage from Malta. So he's, you know, he's got family there and that kind of thing. This guy, like his Grim Angus list is... I'll just run down a bit. Storm Troll is a new model, but Storm Troll, Impaler, Bomber... War Wagon. Ugh, hate War Wagons. Fellcaller, Sons of Brag. Now, Sons of Brag is something that Gallia put into his Grim Angus list first. I said it was a terrible idea, but he ran with it and it worked for him. So,
I don't think you see enough of.
Yeah, the Sons of Brag, I always thought they were overcosted, and I think they are overcosted, but they all do good work. So, yeah, that's. Yeah.
I don't know about overcosted. I mean, you see them, to me, it's three point solos in a unit because troll solos are all 3 points. They've all got the weapon master, they've all got the other abilities. So
maybe for trolls they're not overpointed, but I just compare them to great bears.
Yeah, so you play great bears, which are probably undercosted.
Yeah,
but the great bears don't have a spray, so maybe you're paying an extra point for the really nice power 14 spray they get and the assault. You know, I don't know, possibly. Yeah. So
we can all agree that there's definitely something wrong with Black 13th.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes, yeah, yeah, absolutely. No arguments there. But yeah, that was probably the most standard list of the ones that have been brought, apart from, you know, the last guys brought Gaiters. And I would say the Gaiters are fairly standard just because you don't have many options in Gaiters. Yeah. It's a very similar list to the last guy we saw with Barnabas and Rask. In fact, they're almost identical, except with a couple of small changes.
Or in Rask instead.
Yep.
Was the difference.
Yeah, but it was the other list really I wanted to highlight. It's just a very interesting team of slightly different and quirky things.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Either some innovation or just on purpose going for stuff that's slightly out there, just not the standard.
Have you noticed, looking through them, have you noticed any, like now we've finished talking about the highlighted teams, is there anything sort of trends that you've spotted that are interesting? I mean, some of the trends we were talking about before, like there's a lot of Haley players that haven't taken Stormwall. There's actually not...
Mine quite a lot.
There's actually not as many Runes of War... Meat Mountain, Xerxes lists as we thought they were going to be there, but there's not as many, and there's actually many more brick breaking lists than there are
from
bricks.
From the red side, there's a lot of Imperators in the
Vyros.
In the Vyros, yeah.
Yeah, which we don't really run here. We just run the Griffins, but I've been thinking about it, and it's actually a bit of a pain to deal with, because if you've got Imperators behind all those Griffins, and because you're thinking normally I've just got to kill the Griffins down to the tipping point at which synergy isn't going to make them hit hard enough anymore. But if you carry on with that strategy against Imperators, who stood behind the Griffins, because, well, I only need one or two Griffins to make me go nuts.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that puts you in the realms of playing the theme list as well.
Yeah, a lot of them are running theme
with Imperators in.
Imperators, Griffins, and is it Sentinels in the theme?
Yeah, some of them haven't done it to get Lannister in, which I still think is a great show in that
list. Yeah, that's definitely viable. I think Advanced Deploy and the extra movement on the first turn from all the running and things, definitely worth a look at the theme.
It's great for the feet as well.
There's an obscene amount of Veil 2, as there always is, but this year... I think the Veil 2 lists are all tweaked from the standard in some way, shape or form. Last year we saw a lot of the staple, same exact Veil 2 list, but a lot of them have got different things in. So, I mean, Robin has always run different lists with his double rakes, but there's some other people. In fact, having Typhon and a single Ravagor is quite a popular choice for Veil 2 players this year. I mean, I'm taking Veil 1, that's where my Typhon is this year, but for other Legion players, that's quite a popular choice.
I never really rated Typhon in... Veil 2, because his attack stats aren't very good. His mat and his rat are both quite low.
Mm. What they tend to use with Veil 2 is Icy Grip helps, but they tend to sit Dragon Fire on him from the flaming attacks from the Ravagor, and then leave Refuge on him, and then just use it. So he's not having a turn of fantastic sprays. What he is doing is having a turn of good sprays every turn.
Yeah, and I think... as a circle player, those sprays have been the worst thing for me at the moment, because I can hide everything else behind walls of druids. Not druid clouds, actual druids in base to base.
Yeah.
And put your caster behind them. But the sprays just go straight through, and it's such a long threat range, even not in Veil 1.
Yep.
You can charge and get them sprays off really far. So I kind of see what they're doing now. I kind of dismissed him early on, but I've played it a couple of times now. Similar to what you were just saying with Veil 2, Morvana 2, a couple of people are changing up the battle groups. I haven't seen a Morvana 2 Waldrath.
No, actually, that's a good point. I haven't seen one of those yet. There might be one around, I just haven't fallen onto it. There are 500 lists to check.
Yeah. I didn't see one. A lot of people have gone for what I took last year, which straight after the WTC I dropped and decided I was never going to take again. So I might have to see what they're doing with it, that single Stalker Gorax.
Ah, yeah. Yeah.
I actually quite liked James Morehouse's. He's got Ravagers, which I don't like, but I know why they're there and they are really good at what they do. It gives her some Legion game because Ravagers are really good for Legion, which is probably one of the reasons I've been struggling with Legion all this time as well, because I don't like Ravagers. But
he's
got,
say, is it just the high mat that say Ravagers?
They've got the mat and they're not... The eight boxes means that you're not getting rid of them with your units. You right. have to shoot them with your beasts.
Yeah. Okay.
At which point my beasts are getting to you.
Yeah. Okay.
He's got blood trackers with Nuala as well, and Max Skinwalkers with UA. So he's got two units of heavy infantry, which presumably a lot of them are coming back.
And he's got Weavers on top of that.
Blood Weavers for Dispel, if nothing else, is definitely worth including in any given list. Yep. I like the list. It's good.
Yeah. But you said you don't like his Kruger 2 list, do you? Even though it's actually his more successful list.
Yes, I just think... I've listened to his podcast, actually, and...
It's a good listen.
It's a very good podcast. People should listen to it. And it's got a nice format as well, and the first one was Kruger 2. I don't... He was saying he wanted a pure blood in his Kruger 2, and my Kruger 2 is basically only different in that I have a pure blood instead of the Wallstalkers. Mm. And I think that's... overall better for what I use Kruger for.
Yeah, he's gone for the 10 individual shots.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's just the meta that he's dealing with. He's got he plays it into Cricks more than you do, and maybe those 10 shots help him out more than the one spray. You know?
Yeah. Also, I play into Arcane Shield a bit.
Yes.
So
yes,
that's always going to be pure blood first choice there.
Or maybe he's not the Signar drop, you know? Or yeah. if he is, he's just going for assassination or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously it is a good list. He did really well with it in America when he went over. I've not seen any results of any Australian events, but
he won pretty much everything in 2013. He's him and Trent Dennison win a lot of the events between them. Basically, is how the Australian meta goes.
So it's good. He's I think I might actually try his Kruger list out at some point. And see how it goes for me. Yep. But he was saying he wanted to try and fit a pure blood in, and I think dropping the wall stalkers for a pure blood will make it a better list, certainly in the UK meta.
Suppose you can talk to him about it when you see him.
I might well do that, yeah. Yep. I'll definitely watch some games of him.
Got any further points to add?
I was just furiously looking through a couple of things with Scorn being my other faction. Just everyone seems to be bringing the Xerxes tier for Fist. Seems a bit odd. The other combination that seems to go into that is Mordekaiser as well. Just interesting couple of ideas there. I'm not a massive fan of the Fist myself. I think it's a bit gimmicky, but it'd be interesting to see how they do.
Yeah, well, the Fist seems to work for people, so it's been brought. It hasn't been brought in as vast numbers as we thought it would be, but it's still there.
Yeah.
I think Scorn have been struggling with an all-comers drop. They've got a lot of lists which are good at something, but then you can't drop them against other things.
Yeah.
And I think you can just probably drop Fist into anything and have a reasonable game.
Yep. Or most things anyway.
It's just not as good as the other Meat Mountains was my point to that.
Right. So if you can have a quick look at Josh Bates in Australia Green as well.
Australia Green. Where have we gone?
Striker 2. Tier 2.
Australia, where's it? Josh, you said?
Josh Bates. Signar, Australia Green. He's the alternate, so he might not be on that.
He's not on this.
Oh, right, okay. No. He's got Striker 2, Old Rowdy Stormclad, double Max Stormlancers, double Stormblade Infantry, one with Officer, and two Stormblade Captains.
That's very themed. okay.
No. If somebody showed me this list and said, what do you think of it as a competition list? I would definitely say, don't take that. Because there's not a lot of good models in there. Now, I can't off the top of my head remember what the theme benefits are, but I don't think... I think
advanced move.
That's just his elite cadre, isn't it?
Oh, is it right? Okay.
For Stormblades.
All right.
Now, if... If you can deliver 2 units of heavy cav, that will kill most things. Mm. They will go into the heavy infantry and kill them with their charge attacks, and they will kill 3 or 4 light infantry each on a charge because they get assault, electro leap, charge, electro leap. It's just I'm not sure what he was going for, what he's planning to run that against, or how it plays at all. I just thought it was a really interesting list.
Maybe it works at busting bricks open, because some of them, like Xerxes, shoots back, but Meat Mountain doesn't shoot back much.
So it is all electric immune as well, so I mean, that might be something.
Did Strikers 2 theme you were wondering about? Benefits for tiers. Storm Monster units in the army become FA2, and you reduce the point of cost by 1 for the first one. Second one. Yeah. Add a unit attachment to 1 Stormblade infantry unit, free of cost. The unit attachment ignores FA restrictions.
I expect he's got double officer and standard, then, and it's just not on there.
Am I looking at the right one there? I might not be there.
Charge of the Storm Brigade.
Yeah, that is the one I'm looking at.
Yeah, it's the one that Stormlancer's become FA2 because he's got 2 of them.
Yeah, I don't think he's used the benefits of anything. I don't think he's above tier 2 there.
He is tier 2. Yeah, because he doesn't have Lattimore.
Yeah, he's literally gone for the extra stuff, hasn't he?
So I was kind of wondering whether this was something that was going to work because it's got 2 max units heavy, or if he's just a we'll drop this and hope people will try and work out what the hell to do with it.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
He could just be sort of a decoy list.
Possibly. So, do we have any other things that we were supposed to talk about? I'm sure there was something.
No, I think I'm done for my list.
No, we're done. We have nothing else to talk about.
Hang on, no, I'm sure we have something else to talk about, don't we?
Nah,
I think we're done.
We're done.
Right, well, thanks for listening. From Jamie, James, and myself, we'll see you next time.